I think we might have Danny here, and he can answer some of these questions. Danny, it's Chris. We appreciate you joining us tonight on The Nation. Sorry about some of the technical difficulties, as they say in the trade. But it's great to have you. How are you?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me. No worries.
Well, I'm sorry about
the number that was just ringing.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me ask you right off the bat. The impact, the overall impact across the university, across the athletic department, the doors it opens, the partnership with Pilot, what does that mean to you guys across the board?
It's a really big deal. You know, the resources and competitive success has always had a strong correlation. You've heard me talk about that in the past. But in this new era of college sports, there's never been a tighter relationship than right now. And we need to have critical partnerships. You know, football ticket sales are important. Premium seating and the revenue we generate off Neyland Stadium is important. The same with basketball. And probably the third bucket that we really spend a lot of time thinking about is how do we drive our corporate partnership revenue up. And Neyland Stadium and the project that we're investing so much in to pour back into our fan experience, we needed to find the right partner. And Pilot was always at the top of our list, but their leadership needs to see it the same way. And Adam Wright, I think, is a visionary. And I think that this is a partnership that is going to be really impactful here in Knoxville and something that may change the game nationally in college football.
Danny, what's the momentum been like from through your eyes of the athletic program? I mean, I was out in Omaha, I know you were too, but just going back over the last couple years and seeing what, not just one sport, but two sports. I vividly remember sitting down with you when you first got the job and you said, "Hey, Chris, we want to win championships in all sports." But to see sort of what the baseball team did, the football team, women's, men's basketball, across the board, I know I'm forgetting some of the sports, women's softball, but what has that momentum meant to the entire athletic department and the university?
It's huge. You know, it's winning's contagious. Our student-athletes see that. They see other programs winning. Our head coaches have a great rapport. They all support each other. They get along, but they're also competitive. So they're all now joking, you know, Tony just won a natty now. Who's going to win a natty next? I think that's great. It's a really healthy environment where people are supporting each other and our student-athletes come here. We talk about this in recruiting. We want to surround you with a community of like-minded men and women that are going to play different sports, but they're trying to accomplish the same thing that you're looking to do, maximize who they are as a person, as a student, as an athlete, and that's what we have going on every day.
Hey, Danny, it's Austin. We were talking about before you got on just how tasteful the whole Pilot deal was done. I mean, like just how it's in white and it's so tastefully done. And Tennessee's able to benefit from having a strong partner that was very much in favor of keeping it being Neyland Stadium and Shield-Watkins Field. Not everybody's going to have that, right? How big was that when you saw that they wanted to preserve everything? Which probably made your job a lot easier. I know it's probably a no-go for you anyway, but it made it a lot easier to go that route, to be able to get this kind of deal done to help the long-term athletic department goals.
It did. It made it a lot easier, but to their credit and their leadership team, it didn't take a lot of convincing, Austin. You know, they got it too. And Adam's new to the community, but he understands and values the power of sport. Understand what UT is in this community, and we know what Pilot is, but he had a really strong support staff with his marketing team, and we all knew that Neyland Stadium is going to be Neyland Stadium. But how do you brand that in a way where it's mutually beneficial for us and for our partner, and allow us to do the things we need to do with the stadium? So they got it from the beginning. It was just about, you know, threading that needle, and like we talked about last week, honoring the past, celebrating our traditions, but innovating for the future. And I think this is a great example of that.
You talk about honoring the past. Since you arrived, you've kind of had your ear to the ground. You've listened to fans. You brought back the Vol sign. You brought back Home of the Vols on each side of the press boxes and sky boxes. What other things are you hearing from Tennessee fans that they'd like to see return from what would be my childhood, Chris's young adulthood?
there's a constant list. My Twitter feed sometimes can be amusing. But our fans are vocal. They're passionate. I love our fan base. I've said a bunch. I think we have the best fan base in all of sport, not just college sports. And the memories that they have, that's what makes the Neyland name special. It's obviously General Neyland and who he was as a coach and a leader and a visionary. But it's the fans in that building and the memories that they have through decades that make it special and made it something that's irreplaceable. So we'll keep looking for ways to honor that, celebrate that, while also making sure that we're positioning ourselves to be successful in the future.
Any chance, Chris, before you jump back in, any chance we see the return of the beer barrel for the Kentucky game or both teams wearing home uniforms for Tennessee, Alabama, which is something I know a lot of fans have clamored for the last several years, which is what they used to do a long time ago?
I wouldn't rule anything out. We're going to constantly listen to the fans. I like the fact that they voice their opinions and make the best decisions as we move forward.
We're visiting with Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White. Danny, my only request is I want one of those penthouse suites in the entertainment district there at the hotel you guys are building. Can you manage that for me?
That's my only ask. The price tag, but I think it's going to be a real, talk about a unique experience, whether you're in a condo or in the hotel, to be able to park and basically not have to get in a car for a football weekend. It's going to be really unique.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, a couple big picture questions as we look ahead in our crystal ball, and none of us have one. The new model, the new revenue sharing model, where you can pay up to $22 million, is that just a start, Danny? Where do we go from there? I'm sure there's going to be more court battles, and gosh, I wish I would have been a lawyer. Billable hours is the phrase of the moment now in college sports. But where do we go from there? Is that just a start, do you think?
We'll see what happens with this settlement if it gives us the safe harbor that folks are talking about. It's supposed to potentially calm the waters. I think this is going to be a critical time period here, the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We'll learn a lot about how much things will evolve. But resources need to go to the players. Everyone understands that. That was probably always the case. I think that's been a great part of NIL. I see development happening with them. The fact that they can manage their brand and there's a financial benefit to that early on in life, but there's also some growing up, and I think it's pretty clear to see that transpire. That's been a really healthy part of NIL. We need, and I've said this a bunch, we need guardrails. We need organization around it. What do the laws of our country allow us to do to create that? And if there's a way to do it in the courts with a settlement, I'm open-minded about that. If that doesn't work, then we need to find another way to get it organized. It's a bit of a mess right now.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. One other question. I think you guys, the ADs and the SEC, meet here in the next couple of days. There's been a lot of talk, and I know it's been proposed, the injury report in the SEC. What's your feel on that? Is there one needed? How does it best work? Coaches, ADs, what is your feel on that?
I think the biggest pressure point is sports gaming and the pressure that it puts on so many people in our organization. It's not just players and coaches. It goes down to the managers and the trainers and everyone in the know about who might be available for a game that people are putting potentially significant amounts of resources at stake for. And having consistency around that, the NBA and the NFL have been managing this for longer than us. We've tried to learn from their experiences and just have an across-the-board way where it doesn't negatively impact competitive equity. Coaches all have confidence that everyone's doing the same things, and it protects our people from being accused of trying to game the system or hide information that may end up knowingly or unknowingly create a lucrative situation for someone betting on the game.
Danny, it's Austin again. You look at Tony and you look at Josh, and I think the two best things they got going for them is continuity. From an athletic department standpoint, you've had a lot of continuity with some of the key people around you, whether it be Alicia Longworth or Ryan Alpert or Cam Walker. How big is that? Do you feel like that's a huge part of the success on the whole? Is just not only continuity with the coaches and their coaching staffs, but continuity overall?
No question. I think having people that feel like they're a part of something that's bigger than themselves, and whether that's student athlete, coach, administrator, all of us, we all need to feel like we're part of a really successful organization. I think we have that going on. Tennessee should be a destination job. For assistant coaches, if they leave here, they should be leaving to be a head coach. We've seen some of that. I want administrators to have aspirations to be an AD, to have that opportunity. That's what I call positive attrition. That's healthy and allows us to promote from within where possible. So we have really hungry, hard-driving, ambitious, talented people doing great work for Tennessee and in ways that benefit their career. I'm a believer that good, talented people are motivated by two things. How is their work production impacting the organization? And then how does that success move the needle for them in terms of their own career? And I want that. I'm not afraid of having positive attrition. But to your point, continuity, and until there is positive attrition, is a huge, huge benefit.
Hey, Danny, we'll get you out here on this. It's Chris again. I know you're a big newsbreaker. Where you guys close? You guys close with Tony Vitello's contract? Is that something that you guys feel like you're closing in on at least?
Tony knows how we feel about him, and I know how he feels about Tennessee and the program he's built. He's obviously done a phenomenal job, and it doesn't keep me up at night worried about Tony and his contract. We both know where we are on that, and I have no concerns about it.
Hey, sticking on baseball, what will fans notice the most about the stadium next year as you guys continue to renovate in phases? As they walk in to Lindsey Nelson next year to watch the season opener, what do you think will be most noticeable about the newest additions?
Everything other than the new tower will be done that they see on a rendering. Knock on whatever wood I have in front of me here, barring any unforeseen issues with more construction schedule stuff. But the new student section will be in. That'll be awesome, overhanging the kind of vacant space coming off of our batting cages. That'll bring our student section way closer to the field. All of the amenities going down the third baseline behind those new four-top seats that went in will be complete. And the connection points to the outfield set up in the outfield, the porches, concourses will be updated a little bit in some of those spaces, low and high. I'm hoping that we'll have some standing room available on what will be, once it's done next year, the mezzanine underneath the new club. But the big holdup is getting that club done because of the delay we had with the utilities that nobody knew were there underneath that Summit Drive.
Well, Danny, man, we appreciate it. I know it's been a terrific run. Tennessee, when the new financial reports are submitted, I think you guys will be part of the $200 million club with maybe just four other schools, and you look at the success on the field. I guess when you look back when they hired you and look forward to right now, you probably wipe your brow and say, whew, what a run it's been.
It has. We've learned a lot about the power of the Tennessee brand, the power of the Tennessee fan base, and I hadn't found a reason yet why we can't build the best athletic department in the country here. It's a sprint to 300 in my mind. We're competitive. All of our coaches are. All of us in the athletic department are. We want to be the best in every single thing that we do, and I think that there's a big opportunity to do that here.
Well, you guys are out the blocks there pretty quickly, man. Hey, thanks again, Danny. We appreciate the time, appreciate the insight, and look forward to catching up with you this football season.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all having me.
Okay. It's Danny White, Tennessee's athletic director, touching on a number of different subjects. Glad to get him on here in his second show of the season. Is Tennessee in the football season right around the corner?